Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Gimel. We're learning today Lilu Nishmas Jack Friedman, Yitzchok ben Matisyo, and Jules Hoffman, Yosef ben Chaim Tzvi. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzahal, all the Kochas HaBitochon, all those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one b'mheira, and the Chatufim should be brought back b'mheira, and there should be Shalom and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin on Ayin Gimel on Aleph. Two lines from the top with the words Hamolich Peros Mimokum Lemokum. Continuing our discussion from the end of yesterday's year, as Rashi brought down from the Bahag that the Gemara was discussing permissible ways that you could lend a saw for a saw. We said in general this is Ribbis de Rabbanon, because when you borrow a loaf of bread at 99 cents and you return it at $1.19, so then that person got ribbis. He waited to get his loaf of bread back, to get his money back, tamtonas manum, agar natar, and therefore that could technically be the ribbis de rabbanon. But there are permissible ways to do a saw for a saw. Besides the fact, I keep on mentioning this because this comes up all the time in real life, that people borrow things from their neighbors all the time and they get it back, so that's called a matana each time, essentially, and that's not called I'm repaying you with the sugar that you lent me with the sugar that I lent you now 2 months later. In any event, hamolich peros imokul mokul. You have a person who goes to bring peros from point A to point B, and his friend finds him. So Reuven is taking the peros from point A to point B. Mitzol chaver v'amalo. Shimon tells him, to name Lee, give it to me, I'll bring it to that place, and I'll give you the fruits that I have in that place. Now, the fruits in place A are less expensive. When you bring those fruits to place B, it's more expensive. So Shimon is taking the produce in point A, where it's less expensive, and says, give it to me, and I will give you the fruits that I have. He already has these fruits in point B, and says, later on, when you come to place B, I'll give you those fruits there, when they're more expensive. So again, this could be a saw-besaw type of relationship that should be usher. So, to name Liv, so it all depends. If he actually has, if Shimon actually has fruits right now, already, in place B, so then mutter, this is permissible. Rashi explains that this is permissible here because he has them, yeshlo, and therefore, if he has them, the mehashta ukimnu birishuse, it's as if Reuven has them right now, even though he make a kiddin on them, but we view this as if Reuven has already acquired those fruits in place B that are belong to Shimon. Now, this is true, even though afal gav, Rashi says, delo moshach, even though he didn't actually make a kinyan mishicha at this point in time, nevertheless, saw the saw lav ribbis ketsutzi, since this is not ribbis d'oraisa, we said it's only ribbis d'rabbanon, el avak ribbis d'rabbanon, it's only ribbis d'rabbanon, therefore, the chieshlo, as long as Shimon has in place B, and Reuven is going to eventually be going to place B, lo gozer. The rabbis didn't say that this is an isser d'rabbanon of saw b'saw. So im yeshlo peros b'osa mokum, if Shimon actually has peros in place B, so then, what it is permitted to make this saw of a saw arrangement. However, b'imlav, if he doesn't have those peros right now in place B, then it is forbidden. Also, as Rashi says, d'bischar hamtononoso nosan lo zeh b'mokum hayoker, since he's waiting to get back his produce. Shimon doesn't have it right now, so he is going to give back more expensive fruits to Reuven. So Reuven, for waiting to get those more expensive fruits, is getting more expensive fruits. So therefore, that is ribbis d'rabbanon. So if he doesn't have it, if Shimon doesn't have it in place B, so then this would be saw b'saw and would be forbidden d'rabbanon. However, the hachamorin, but donkey drivers, they're like the truck drivers, they're the UPS, and they would go and sell things in one place to another. So as Rashi points out, these hachamorim, hamishtakrim b'tvua, they make business by selling wheat, let's say, in place, they get it from place A, and they sell it in place B, where it's more expensive. And when via mimokum hazol, they take it from place A, which is less expensive, that's where they buy it, lemokum hayoker, to place B, where it's more expensive, so mutter lehem likach mos mibalei batim ashirim b'mokum hayoker. They're allowed to go take money right now, when they're still in place A, and go and bring the produce to the wealthy people that purchased from them in place B. Amenas litein lemizvan ploni haperos kishar mokum hazol. And they're giving to them in place B, but at the price of place A. So again, let's put it into numbers. Reuven takes money from Shimon. Shimon's a rich, wealthy person in place B, and Shimon gives Reuven money in place A. So the fruits are $100 there. So he gives him $100 to go and bring him fruits, which are in place B, worth $150. And the Gemara will tell us right now that there is no ribbis concern here, even though Reuven is getting $100 right now, and he'll eventually give $150 to Shimon, so it sounds like it's Hamtanas Manos. Shimon is waiting to get his money, and instead of getting the 100, he's getting 150 worth of value, so that is not considered a concern of ribbis. Why not? So let's read the Gemara now. V'achamarin hu amalim b'makom ha'yoker ki b'makom ha'zoh. They're selling it in the higher cost place B, yet they're selling it at the low cost from place A because they got the money in place A. That is permissible. The Einon Choshishin. We aren't concerned. And the obvious question is, why not? My time up. Why aren't we concerned? This certainly sounds like it's a forward contract. They're paying 100 to get something that will be worth 150. So why isn't that not a concern? So Rapapa Omar, because Nichalu, Rapapa says, these truck drivers, these Chamorin, these donkey drivers, are thrilled to be known as being good quality businessmen. Nichalhu de Megalulhu Tara, because they have all this advanced sales, these rich people from place B are giving them a lot of money, so therefore they have established themselves, as Rashi says, Shayde Ma'osov Shozet, because they have all this money, Heim Nikorin Sochrin. They're known as, wow, these guys are good businessmen. Makirin Osombali Batim Shomokamazo, and the people that are selling them the produce in place A, in the cheaper place, are thrilled to have solid business with them. The Noslam Bakofa, and therefore, since they know from years gone by already that these people have a good line of credit, they'll give it to them on credit. And therefore, they can make a good parnasa. They get the money up front, they get the produce up front, and they can sell it. And even if the rich people demanded to get it right now, and not to wait months, so they would say, deliver it today. I'm paying $100 today, deliver it today. So then there's no ribbis concern. Nevertheless, they would be willing to do so. They would be very willing to do this because, again, they've established themselves as good businessmen. So it was worth it for them for that, and therefore it's not a ribbis concern. That's where Papa's teretz. Rav Acher Brei de Ravika gives us a similar teretz, a little bit different. We'll see in a moment what's the nafgamina between Rav Papa and Rav Acher Brei de Ravika. And Omar, he says, Nichaluhu, it is worthwhile for these truck drivers, these chamorin, these donkey drivers, the Mosle Gabayu. Rashi explains, B'nei Mokom Hazol, the people in place A who are selling these truck drivers, these donkey drivers, the produce, they hear, Kishishomim She'ein Elu Mishtakrim Ba, since they hear, hey, they're buying it from us for 100 and they're selling it for 100, so how can they stay in business? We're going to lose these truck drivers, these donkey drivers, to sell our product. So therefore, Mosle Gabayu, they say, okay, we'll sell it to you for 80. And therefore, if they're selling it for 100, they're buying it for 100, they're not going to do business with them anymore. So the people who produce the produce, they're going to say, instead of us selling it to you for 100, we'll sell it to you for 80. And therefore, mostly they lower the price to them, and that's how they can make a living. So again, we have Rapapa's Teretz that says they like to be known as big businessmen, they have good lines of credit, and that's why they do it. Or Rav Acher Brei de Ravika says, because they actually get a discounted price, not paying the regular 100, they'll pay 80 for it, and that's how they make a living. Now, is there an afkamina between the two? Might be Nayu. So the Gemara says, yes, there is. And the Gemara says the difference is, Ika benayu tagru charata. Now, the way Rashi understands this is as follows. Rashi says, if they are a new merchant, so then tagor she'enu nikar adayin, until now they haven't been in the business, and they suddenly come onto the scene, so l'man diomar de megalu tara, according to Rapapa gave us the answer that in the Galilu Tara, the fact that they are known as good businessmen, that's what they're willing to do. This. So then, this guy's also, a new Tagra, is also going to be known as a good businessman. The man, the armor, the Galilu Tara, he also has cash up front, so therefore he's a good businessman. But according to the other opinion, according to Rav Acher Brei de Ravika, he had said that the reasoning is, the Mosle Gabayu, according to that reasoning, so then, not necessarily so. The Mosle Gabayu Rashi says, Leka, he wouldn't be included in this because the Kivan, they don't Nikalem, they don't know him yet. So, Ein Mamidim B'Dvarav, they don't believe him, says, hey, I'm selling it for 100, I'm buying it for you for 100. If you want to continue my business, you better give me a discount. They're not going to believe him. Shu Nosle B'Mekoma B'Zol, the low Mosle Gabayu. So, they're not going to believe him that this is the case. And that, Rashi says, is the difference. If you see, in Oz Beis, in the Hagos Agra, he says that the Rith actually has the exact opposite. He says that Rapapa would be Leka and Rav Acher Brei de Ravika would be, in fact, the one that would this still would apply, Ika, right? No, part of the word Ika and Ika, one with a Kuf, one with a Chaf. The bottom line is, there's no difference, the Gra says, but they would explain it in the exact opposite fashion. Gemara continues and tells us another case. Bisura Azle Arba Arba. Rashi explains what does this mean. It means that they would sell a certain measure, four of these measures, Bezuza. So there was a certain measure, and they would sell four of such measures for Azuz. That was in Surah where Rav lived. Now, the Kafri, in the place where the produce came from, Azlen Shisa Shisa. So Rashi says Kafri is the name of a place, Shemokum. Others say it means the Kfarim. In any event, they would sell it there for a lower price because that's where it was produced. So it would go there for Grive Bezuza. It would have six of such measures going for Azuz. So in Kafre, it would be a discounted price of six for Azuz. When it got to Surah, they would sell it for four for Azuz. And what did Rav do? Yoiv Rav Zuze Lichamori. Rav would pay these donkey drivers, the truck drivers, like we just had in the previous incident, but Rav didn't take it at the price in Kafre. He took it at a lower price, albeit not at the four, but he took it at a price of five, as we'll see in a second. And in addition, he did another chumra upon himself. So he gave them, Yod Rav Zuzi L'chaimer, he gave them the money up front, which we'll see, he gave them Izuz, but he only took five. And in addition, Mekabel Alei Unsa D'Archa, and if something had happened to the produce on the way, Rav accepted responsibility for it, not the truck drivers. And Vishalku Binayu Chamisha, and he only took five measures when he was entitled to take six. So Rav did two chumras on himself. So the Gemara asks, Vinishkal Shisa, why didn't he take the six? He was entitled to take the six. And the Gemara doesn't even ask why he took upon himself Unsa the Archa. He didn't have to do that. But the Gemara's answer applies to both. Adam Choshev Shiny. Rav didn't want anybody to think for a second that he was doing something wrong. And even though halachically he was allowed to do this, Yunikiyam Hashem Yisrael, it wasn't enough that he was knowing that he wasn't doing anything wrong to Hashem. He wanted people not to think less of him as well. And since he was Rav, the great Gadol HaDor, if anybody thought for a second that he was doing something wrong, he didn't want that to happen. Adam Choshev Shiny. And he took upon himself to do things that were much well above, beyond what was the din, in order that he should have an absolutely stellar reputation. Adam Choshev Shiny. Gemara continues and says, Boim neighbor of Asi, Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan the following question. We just said that the truck drivers are allowed to go and purchase in place A at a lower price and go sell it to people in place B at that lower price of place A because either Rav Papa's reason or Rav Achabred, Rav Ika's reasoning. So the question that Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, does this only apply to produce, which is readily available on a constant basis, and the reasonings of Rav Papa and Rav Achabred the Ravika would apply? Would it also apply to something that wasn't such a steady business? Mal lasos begrutos came. Rashi explains that grutos are like scrap metal, various types of scrap metal. Bishar pragmachi, Rashi says, in other types of business, kigon, shivrezov, bekesef, ushamini matkos. If you have little pieces of gold or pieces of silver or other types of metals, do we say, me amrina, do we say that this din that we just said that you can do this is only by produce? Tavua, the midi, the shriachu, this is something that's always readily needed and available. The ozle, the asu, kol shaita, there's always going to be produce. People have to live. So therefore, in that situation, Nichaluhu, the Megali Tara, Inami, the Mosley Gabayah, therefore the reasons of Rav Papa, Megali Tara, or the reason of Rav Achabre, the Rav Ika, the Mosley Gabayah, apply. However, that might not apply to other types of merchandise, Avu Bishar Pragmacha, like the grutos, like the scrap metals, Leka Gilui Tara. There isn't automatically this understanding, oh, let him have a good line of credit, so to say, because this isn't applicable in this type of business. And likewise, the other reasoning of Ozli Gabayu, that also doesn't apply with this type of a business. So that's the question that Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan. Was this a specific din in produce, or was this a din in general that can be used even for other types of pragmatia like grutos? So Rav Yochanan answers him, Amalei. Rav Yochanan says, no, you can't. Bikesh Rav Yishmael b'Rav Yosi, Lassos came b'Klei Pishtan. So the first version is that Rav Yishmael b'Rav Yosi wanted to do this in regards to Klei Pishtan. And below Nichol or Rebbe. Rebbe didn't allow it. He said, no, that is the reasoning that we had. The Rav Papa and Rav Achabarika, Breda Ravika gave us would not apply to Klei Pishtan. Alternatively, others have the other way around. He could tell me that it was Rebbe who wanted to do this. Because Rebbe Lassos Begrutos came. He wanted to do this with scrap metal. And below Nichol, Rebbe Shmuel Bar Yosef said, no, you can't do this. It only works for something that is constantly needed, such as produce, such as Tua. Gemara adds further, Pardesa, Rashi says, if a person wants to liknos yayim in a keret, a person wants to go to the owner of the vineyard and say, listen, your crop hasn't yet been produced. It's reached a certain stage, so it's a dover shaboli olam. However, it hasn't yet started to be plucked and produced wine. But I want to pay you for your bosa that you have over here, so the payers are already there. They haven't yet reached the stage where you can produce the wine for them, but I want to buy them from you right now at a lower price and get eventually back wine. So is this allowed, Pardesa, to go and buy, again, a future contract? I'm paying you right now $100 to get $150's worth of wine. So Rav says, no, this is ribbis. Ushmul Shari, Shmuel permitted it. What's the rationale? Rav said, this is ribbis because kivan dilakamei shav yotvei, because right now he's paying 100 and he's waiting to get his money back, the value back, and he's going to get 150 back. So therefore, mischaze, it looks like ki agar notale, because he's waiting to get his money back, so he gets a higher amount. That is called ribbis de rabbanan. Shmuel Shari, but Shmuel said, no, it's not ribbis de rabbanan. Why not? Because kivon dahavi be tiyuha. Because here there is potential for spoilage, as Rashi says. But om yesh kilkul bekerem, there could be lots of things that happen to the vineyard. For example, could go and borrow it. There could be hail, o gishamim, or excessive rain, o kerach, or ice storms. Umar sinakol, and they could destroy the vineyard, and it will produce nothing. And therefore, it's korov lischar, korov lehefset. And therefore, this is almost like an Iska. There's only like a business relationship over here, and therefore Shmuel says it's not a ribbis problem. And lo merse ki agar notale, and it doesn't look like he's waiting to get his money, and therefore it's a risk. He may get nothing for the $100 because he's giving it to him based upon the fact that it will produce wine. If it doesn't produce wine, he doesn't get his $100 back. So therefore, it's a risk that he's taking, and therefore he's allowed to go pay $100, and it's essentially like an iska, and he'll get back $150 because this is a risk that he's taking. Rashi points out the word tiyua comes from a lashon of charata, tohe al harishonos. Okay. Gemara continues and tells us, Om Rav Simi Bar Chiya. Rav Simi Bar Chiya does say, however, that even Rav will be mode, umode Rav bitore. That when you're dealing, well, the Rashi understands is that dealing with oxen, the nofish psedayu, that even Rav would agree that there's a great risk if the guy is going to harvest his vineyard using oxen, because they trample a lot of the stuff, and therefore the yield may not be the same. And if you look on the side of the Gemara, and you look in the Gosa Bach, they each refers back to Daf Laman Amud Aleph, where if you remember, we learned that if a person wishes to lose his money, the Gemara is giving us suggestions how to protect your money, and says if a person wants to lose his money, one of the things to do is to go let people plow his vineyard with oxen, because they will destroy many of the vines, albeit they can effectively plow the vineyard, but they're going to destroy many of the vines. So therefore, even Rav would agree that if you're plowing with oxen, so then there's a significant risk over here, and therefore he would agree with Shmuel that that would be permissible. That's if you have the Girsa Bitore. If you look in Torah, Tosos, in Dibur Maaseh Bitore, he brings down for the Rein Chananel, and as well, if you look in Oz Dalet and Legro, he brings down that the Rambam also had a different Girsa here. So Rabbeinu Chananel Goris Bitavore, which means Upirish Shemocher Agolim Kitanim Vlados Edro Asher Yivodulo Bishonazos. That this situation wasn't that he's plowing with oxen, it's that the scenario that Rav said he agrees with Shmuel is that the person paid X amount up front for all of the baby animals that were born during that year. Umo the Rav, in that situation, behu the shore, that that's permitted because there's a potential for miscarriage over here that's significant. Shiragilos, harbe shemapilos. A lot of the animals will miscarry. You don't know how many. Therefore, this is also karv l'schar, karv l'hesed, and this is like an iska relationship, and it's not a ribbis concern. Therefore, this habi kilko yoser mitiyur shal pardes. This is much more so than with the vineyard. Now, on the side, it brings down the opinion, the Gemara brings down the opinion for the Rambam, Mefarish, Shekona Egel Katon Umenicho, that he purchased a young Egel, and the chances of this being worth more is certainly possible, but it's also a chance that it won't go up as much in price, because you don't know what will be, and therefore, that's why Rav had said this case is permissible, just like Shmuel had said, because Korv L'Tzchar, Korv L'Hefs. Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Lu Shmuel Hanu D'Shav Shei Shivsha. Shmuel said to the people, this is the way Rashi understands, this Tosfos has a different understanding, we'll just learn simple like Rashi right now, that Shmuel had said to the people who were lending the sharecroppers, people that were taking a field, they didn't have a lot of money, they were working the field, they get a percentage of the field. So other people would lend them the seed to go and plant that field. So Shmuel told these people, you're lending them seed and you're expected to get back seed later on. This would be a saw besaw ribbis type of a problem. So he told them, in order to remove the ribbis concern of saw besaw, hafolchu bi'ara, go and turn over the land. In other words, help with the plowing of the land to a very small extent. And in this way, you are now a partial owner in the field. You own now a small portion of the field. And therefore, you are now, when you get back your seed, your zera, your tfuah from this field, so it's not considered that you're just getting back a return on your loan. It is considered you're a partner in the field, and therefore there's no saw b'saw ribis concern. Because if you don't, v'ilo, ha'v'luchu, kevav yosu, then it would be a saw b'saw, and that would be a problem. You're giving him a saw of tour, and you can get back a saw of tour, so that's a problem. Similarly, Rava told the people that were guarding the fields, Menatre Bagi, Menatre means to watch, Menatre, the shin and the tes are interchangeable, so the Menatre, they watch the Bagi, the swamps, the fields, and Poku, he told them, go, hafohu bebei dore, go and do a little bit of work in the bei dore, that's on the threshing floor, because in this way, you're still not completed your work. Watching it, and then do a little bit more, and therefore, kihechi delo tishtalim schirus didchu ad haishaita. This way, you're still considered workers, and a worker is only getting paid at the end. And therefore, this schirus ainu mishtalem eselo b'so, since you aren't yet due your money until you finish. So when you do a little bit of this threshing on the threshing floor, you're turning over the wheat, the product, on the threshing floor, now they owe you the wages. And now, if they want to give you a bonus, it's not concerned that you've been waiting for your money. It's only due right now. And therefore, if they want to give you a little bit extra, it's called paying a worker a bonus. That's allowed. Here, it's not a ribbis concern because you're not owed the money till right now, and therefore you're not being paid to wait for your money. If they owed you the money up front, and they said, listen, take the cash now, $100, we'll pay $150 in a few weeks, so then that would be a ribbis concern. But here, what they're saying is, keep on working. Rava told them, keep on working, so now they only owe you the money when they're ready to pay you. Oh, now they're allowed to give you a bonus, and they can give you the $150 instead of having gotten the $100 earlier on. Now we have another Ma'aseh Shaya. Amalei Rabbanan LeRava. The Rabbanan said to Rava, Ka'achu Ma'ribis. Rava, you are in fact eating ribis. Now, what do they accuse him of? All the other people that own fields, when they take produce from the sharecroppers, they take it at a rate of 4 kor. Arba kor, which is 120 saw. There are 30 saw in a kor. There are 4 kor that are owned. So 4 times 30 is 120. So everybody else takes 120 saw, 4 kor, but they kick their workers off the field in Nisan. And they get back to fields in Nisan. But you, Rava, Umar, Nantalu Adir, you wait until Iyar. In other words, you let them stay on the field for a longer period of time, but Vishakushisa, you take 6 kor, 180 saw. And as a result, it looks like instead of you getting paid 120 for kor, 120 saw in Nisan, you're waiting another month. So this is Hamtonas Mos, and therefore you're waiting to get 6 kor, 180 saw a month later. Isn't that Hamtonas Monos? Isn't that Agar Natule? And isn't that Ribbis Drabanon? So Rava says, no, I'm doing it right. You guys are all wrong. I'm a little. Rava told the other Chachamim, Atun, you, you are doing things incorrectly. When you kick your workers off in Nisan, they still have the right to work the field. And in Nisan, the crops aren't fully ready yet. So you're causing them to go and sell it at an earlier point in time. You're causing them to harvest at an earlier point in time, and they're not going to have such a bounty. So when you go and kick them off your fields in Nisan, you're causing them a certain loss. Because the produce right now is only worth X. If they had held on to the produce for another month, it would be worth X plus Y. So that's why I take a bigger amount, because they're getting more, so therefore I'm entitled to more. And now, since I, Natarnalu Adir, I let them stay on the field until Iyar, so therefore, Umar Vachna Luhu Bekama, I'm allowing them to make the X plus Y, and that's why I'm entitled. I'm basically renting it for a longer period of time, so therefore I'm entitled to a longer rent. You guys are shortchanging them by kicking them off in Nisan. They're actually not making enough. X is a much smaller amount than the X plus Y. I give them the extra month, so I charge them a little bit more, but then they get X plus Y, so they're happy, and I'm happy as well. Return to Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Mara tells us some more stories. Rav Mari Baruchel. Why was he known as Rav Mari Baruchel? It's a very interesting story. So Rashi reminds us of this story, and he says, the top Rashi, Bas Shmuel Hava, this was actually, Rachel was Shmuel's daughter. And we know the famous story that he had once said something to his father, and his father had said, oh, you wouldn't say that if this happened to you. And then it was talking about women being captured, and Yotza Shkaga, Lefnei HaShalit, it's like the ruler made a decree unintentionally, and Shmuel's daughter was captured. And she was captured by a person who ultimately converted, and he became known as Isser Giura. Now, this Isser Giura had relations with her while he still hadn't converted. And then he converted, and the child was born while he was a Jew. So, there's a certain pagam in this child, so we know him as Rav Mari Bar Rachel, rather than saying Rav Mari, then Isser Giura. In any event, that's who this person was. Rav Mari Bar Rachel is a big Talmud Chacham. And Mishkan Lei Hao Nachri Beisa. Rav Mari Bar Rachel lent a certain guy an amount of money, and the guy gave him back as a mashkon his house. So Rav Mari Bar Rachel is entitled to go and live in his house, and he did. Hadar Zabnu L'Rabba. But meanwhile, this guy sold that house to Rabba. Now, he's allowed to do that. The guy didn't do anything wrong, just Rava wouldn't be allowed to go and collect that house at this point in time because it was pledged to Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Now, that was a pledge for 1 year. The loan was due at 1 year point, and by the Goyisha rules, the person was allowed to go and live there and use it. This is not a ribbis concern because it's with the guy. So Rav Mari Bar Rachel was entitled to go live in this house rent-free and still get his money back at the end of the year. And he couldn't be kicked off before the end of the year. So Nata Treisa Yachei Shasa. So Rav Mari waited for the 12 months, the year, that he was entitled to live on the land. And then Shokal Agar Beisa Amtile L'Rava. He then took the rent for the next year, Rashi explains. Mishana Haba for Amtile L'Rava. He now took the rent since he hadn't yet been paid back from the guy. He's still entitled to live on that land. And now he says, okay, the guy could kick me off at any moment. So by Jewish law, I now would have to pay rent. So therefore, he went to Rava to go pay him the rent for the next year. Shoko Agar Beisa, the rent for the coming year, Amtile L'Rava. Amale, Rav Mari said to Rava, Hi, Delo Amtoi Lamar Agar Beisa Adho Idna. The reason why I didn't pay you for the first year that I lived on the land was because the Stam Mashkanta Shata, because the loan was for a year period of time, and he didn't have the right to kick me off the land. And Iboy Nachri Lisalki, if he had tried to kick me off the land, Lo Havi Motzi Misalikli, he couldn't have kicked me off, and therefore I had the right to live there rent free for 1 year. However, now, Hashta, Lishko Mar Agrabesa. Now, since you could kick me off the land, he could kick me off the land by repaying the loan, and by Jewish law, I'm not allowed to go and live on this land because you own this land. No longer does the guy own the land, so therefore I want to pay you rent. Hashta, Lishko Mar Agrabesa. So take the rent for now for the next year. So Amale, Rava says to him, number one, Ihavi Yadana, Dahavi Mimushkon, Leilimar. Lo hava zovinin ole. If I had known that you already had this property as a pledge to you as a mashkon, so then I never would have bought it because you're the bar mitzvah, so to say. And we pointed out previously that the person who has this pledge is entitled the first rights to buy it. So Rava said, I didn't know that you were a bar mitzvah on this, and therefore I would have not bought it. I would have given you the first chance to buy it. That's number one. Number two, Hashta Kidineim Adinolach. Since I purchased this from the guy, I can't purchase it according to Jewish law. I can only purchase it according to the Gaish law. And the Gaish law is that you're allowed to live there rent-free until he pays you back. Granted, he couldn't kick you off in the first year, but he still can't kick you off in the second year, the third year, the fourth year, until he pays you back. So therefore, Hashta Kidineim Adinolach, I'm going to treat you like their laws because I bought it from him. I can only buy the rights that he had. I can't add my own rights to it. And therefore, Kol Emas Lo Misal Kibizuse, until this guy pays you back the money that you lent him, you have the right to live there rent-free. And therefore, Lo Shakil Agar Besa, I'm not going to take the money from you. And here we see the beauty of the great Talmidei Chachamim. Each of them is basically arguing, I don't want to take something that doesn't belong to me. Rav Mari Bar Rachel says, here, take the rent. And Rava says, no, I will not take the rent. Each of them wants to do the right thing, and each of them wants to pay or not be paid in accordance with what doing the right thing is. Not, well, I could get a couple $100 for free, so I might as well go take it. So, Lo Shokul Agar Besa. Rava refused to take the money, and he said, Anonami Lo Shoklinaminoch, I will not take it from you, Agabesa, the rent for the house, until Ad the Misalkina Loch Bizuze, until the guy pays you back. Oh, once the guy pays you back, you're no longer entitled to the house rent free. I now own the house. If you want to live on it, then you can pay me rent. Another Maisa Shaya, Amalei Rava mi Barnish Liravashi. Rava, who came from the town of Barnish, said to Ravashi, Chazi ma Rabbanan de Koachli Rabisa. He was complaining to Ravashi and said, look, the rabbis are taking interest over here. What would they do? The Yahavi Zuze Acharma B'Tishrei, they would go and pay the wine merchants the money of the wine in Tishrei when it cost much less, but Umavkare Law B'Tevis, but they would go and take the wine in Teves. In other words, they're giving 100 in Tishrei and they're getting choice wine in Teves for 150. How could they do that? Isn't that ribis? So Rav Ashi says it's not. Amalei, no. Inu nami achamra ko yahavi. Because when they bought that wine in Tishrei, they were buying wine. And achala lo ko yahavi. And they weren't going and buying vinegar. And therefore, you're saying now they're taking choice wine in Teves, that's 150. Well, they actually owned that wine back in Tishrei. They had purchased it back in Tishrei. Aye, some of that wine spoils, which is why the rest of the wine goes up to be 150. No, meikara dechamra chamra. The wine that didn't spoil was already present in Tishrei. The things that would make it spoil were already there in Tishrei. And therefore, dechala chala, that thing that would make it already turn to vinegar was already present, albeit undetectable, in Tishrei. And they purchased wine. So now, retroactively, these are the barrels that they purchased. So, Hayishaita Hudukamavchere. So, we only see retroactively which barrels of wine they purchased. So, they weren't purchasing something for 100, getting 150. They were purchasing something for 150, and they're getting 150, and therefore, it's not a ribbis concern. Similarly, Ravina Haviyav Zuze Livne Akra de Shanvasa. Ravina would go and give money to the people that lived on the banks of the river Shanvasa. Right? Akra Shanvasa, Rashi tells us that Shanvasa was a certain name of a river. Rashi says Shanvasa Shema Nahar, and Akra was the name of a city. And Yoshvin Asvas Osanor, that was right next to this river. And what happened? The Yav Luhu Ravina Zuze, Ravina would give them money. Lifnei habatzir, before they harvested, loseis lo hayayin be'eis habatzir kishar hayotze. And he said, I'll give you money now before the wine has been harvested, so to say, and you'll pay me with wine. So that's what he did. Ravina haviyoev zuze livnei akra deshanvasa v'shav chilei tfei kufisa. And when he got the wine, so they gave him a little bit more than he paid for. Now, there was no ribbis arrangement over here. He didn't ask them to do this. They didn't say they were going to do this. There was no such tanai. So the question was, also, Likami the Ravashi, Ravina went to Ravashi and he asked him, Amalei, Mishari, is this permitted over here? Because this was on their own doing, as Rashi says, Midaitam, Shalom B'tnai. I never asked for this and I never expected to get it. So am I allowed to keep it? So Ravashi told Ravina, yes, Amalei, in. You're allowed to keep it because Acholi hu dekol machle gabach, because this is a pure present. As Rashi said, ho, the lo pasaktu imam, you didn't arrange to have this, umidaitam nos loch, and they're giving it to you out of their own free will. They don't have to do this. The ein maskirin lomar bischar moosecha shiu betelos etzlenu. And they didn't mention that it had anything to do with the money that you gave us earlier on, and therefore we're giving it back to you. No! Matana biyamu. They're thankful. They're very thankful that they do business with them, and they give them a present. And this is not a concern. That's what Ravashi told Ravina. Furthermore, Amalei, Ravina said to Ravashi, Ha'ara lav diruhi. Wait a second, I got another problem over here. Another reason I wanted to question, am I allowed to go take this from them? Bottom line is, these guys were rich guys that had bought foreclosed land. And am I allowed to go and take this from them? Because after all, karka ain't an exelis. And the poor people who couldn't pay the taxes to the king, so the king foreclosed the land and they bought this land. And that's why they had the vineyards and the grapes and the wine. So is this geneva? So Ravashi says, no, it's not. Amalei, ara litasko mishabda. In fact, the land belongs to the king, and whoever pays the taxes on it is considered the owner. Nebuch, these poor people couldn't pay the taxes, so it reverts back to the king. Umalka, Omar, and the king said, man diyov tasko, whoever pays the land tax, the real estate tax, lechalari, he gets to use the land. So therefore, they're not going to know him. It belongs to the king, and the king can give it to whoever wants it. No, the poor people originally had it, but they couldn't pay the taxes on it, so the king took it back. And no, they're willing to pay the taxes, so the king gives it to them. Another Maisa Shoya, Amalei Rapapa L'Rava, Rapapa said to Rava, Chazi Mar, Hani Rabban, and look at these rabbis, the Yavi Zuze Akrago de Inshe, look at these rabbis, Rapapa was complaining to Rava, who went and paid the head tax. Akrago means the skull tax, the head tax that the government insisted that everybody pay. Umishad de Butve, and then they go and they paid the tax to these people, they go and work them. In other words, they go and make them be their servants. Now, they treat them very nicely, but they're causing other Jewish people to be slaves. So the Gemara says, no, Rava says to Rapapa, that was allowed. Amale, hashta ichu shchiva lo amrin l'chu ha-milsa. Oh, it's a good thing I didn't die, Rava tells him, because if I died, I never would have told you this great part. Hachem Rashashis, this is what I heard from Rashashis. Morakayu, Rashi explains, Morakayu is the chosem avdushlem, the fact that these people are servants, dahane betavso de malka monach. That's because everybody belongs to the king. Rashi says, betavso de malka means be argas shel melech munach. Everybody is, so to say, owned by the king. Everybody in those days was a servant to the king. The dina machus adina, and you follow the law of the land. The law of the land is, you pay a head tax, you go free. You don't pay your head tax, you're my slave. You have to work for me. Umalkomar, and the king said, anybody that pays the head tax, they'll work for them instead of working for me. The king didn't want to go into the slave business. The king said, everybody owes me $100 per head. No, you paid $100, you go free. You don't pay $100, then you're my servant. But the king didn't want to have a lot of servants. So he said, anybody pays $100 for that servant gets to use that person as a servant. And anybody who can't pay their head tax, they become a servant to somebody that pays the head tax for them. And therefore, Rava said to Rapapa, yeah, this is not a problem, what these people are doing. Of course, they have to treat them nicely. They have to treat them like an Eved Ivri. Called an Eved, called a Rabbo. It's not a good thing always to have such an Eved. You have one piece of steak, you got to give it to him. Nevertheless, they were allowed to do this because, after all, they paid the head tax. Another Maishu Shahoya. Rav Sa'orim, that was his name, Achua de Rava, was the brother of Rava. Have a talk if Inshe de lo malu, umayluhu begor haka de Rava. And Rav Sa'orim, Rava's brother, would go take bad people, people that were not malu, people that didn't have a good reputation, and he would go and take them, talk if he would be cold for them, he would force them to go and carry Rava around. Begor haka de Rava. Rashi says, agola muchenis l'merkaves odom. This was like a wagon that was carried by people. And they would go and be forced, Rav Sa'orim would force them to go and carry Rava's carriage. Amalei Rava said to him, Yashar Koyach, Shapir Ka'adis, you did a good thing, my brother. Why? Because the Tanina, we learned in the following Braisa, Ra'isi She'enu Noe Kashura, if you see people that aren't acting properly, Minayin Shator Rashoi Lishtabibo, how do you know that you have a right to go and force them to do the right thing? In other words, you can force them to do work for you until they do the right thing. So this is based upon the Pasuk, Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk says, and I'll read you the whole Pasuk, Le'olam Bohem Tavodu, and then the Pasuk says, Uva'acheichem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'yochiv lo sirder bo b'forech. Now what does this Pasuk mean? We darsh it in the following way. It says, Le'olam Bohem Tavodu, forever you should work there, meaning the goyish slaves. But then it says, Uva'acheichem. So the word Uva'acheichem is not a separate clause in the way we darsh it now. It means Le'olam Tavodu Uva'acheichem, that forever you're allowed to go and work the goyim and your own Jewish brothers. And therefore, that's where Rava told Rav Sa'orim, his brother, you have a right to go and work them. Ah, Yochel Afilu Noe Kashura. But that might then lead to think that you're allowed to go work them, even if they're acting properly. Oh, Talmud Lomar, that's why you read the Pasuk the other way as well. Uva'acheichem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'yochiv, v'gomer, the v'gomer is lo sir debo before, you're not allowed to work them. So it depends. If they're doing the right thing, then lo sir debo before. But if they're not doing the right thing, so then we darsh in the Pasuk, lo olubem tabodu, uva'acheichem. Amr Chama, another story, Amr Chama says, Hai man diyoev zuze lecharve lemizban lechamra. If Reuven is arranging for somebody to go and buy wine for him, Reuven says to Shimon, go buy wine for me. Diyoev zuze, and he gives Shimon money to go and buy wine for him. Upasha, Shimon, unfortunately, is negligent. Velo zavenle, and he didn't buy him the wine. Now wine costs much more. When he gave him the money to buy wine, it was $100. Now if he went to buy the same amount of wine, he'd have to pay $150 for it. So what happens? So Mishalim Lei, Shimon is obligated to pay Reuven because he took upon himself this responsibility to buy the wine and he didn't do it. So he owes Reuven the money. Kidika Ozil Aparvosa de Zol Shifat. He has to go pay him like the wine, Aparvosa, it means the port of the wine that was sold in Zol Shifat, which was, Rashi explains, is a place where the wine was very inexpensive. So therefore, Shema Mokum, Shahayayin Nikach Vidimkar Lushon Lurov, Halokhin Yayin, Bimos Habot. This was a place where there was plenty of wine available, and the prices were lower. Tosus says, we see someplace else that the wine there was more expensive. So Tosus explains that this was a midway point between the least expensive areas and the most expensive areas. They would pass through this port of Zoshaphat, and that's where he would have to pay for the wine. So the $100 worth of wine that would have been able to buy in Zoshaphat, he has to now buy him that amount of wine, even though it's going to be, instead in Zoshaphat, it would have been $100, and now it's going to be 150. So this Shimon, Rav Chama said, has to go pay him the 150. A neighbor questioned this. Amar Meimar said, "Amisal Shmaisi Kamei de Rav Zvid Min Nardoi." I said over this member of Rav Chama in front of Rav Zvid, who from Nardoi, and he said, "Amar, no." Ki Kamei Rav Chama. When Rav Chama said that, Hani Mila B'Yayin Stam. That only was if he told him to go just buy wine stam. So then Shimon would have been able to definitely buy wine stam wine, and therefore that's why he's now punished, and he has to go buy the wine for 150. Even though at that point in time it would have been 100, he has to go pay 150. But Avo B'Yayin Zeh. But if Reuven had instructed Shimon, "I want you to buy me this specific wine," then in fact Shimon wouldn't be punished. Lo, because who says he would have been able to get that wine? Niyemar de Mizabdin de Niyale. Who says he would have definitely been able to get that specific wine? He told him to go buy this specific wine. Maybe that wine wouldn't be available. If he told him to buy wine stam, yayin stam, so then definitely there's wine available. But a specific wine, he wouldn't have been held accountable. Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi amar, no. Afilu yayin stam namilo. Rav Ashi says, even if Shimon had agreed to get him stam wine, we don't punish Shimon. Shimon is not held accountable, and all he has to do is return the money. He has to give back the $100 to Reuven. But he isn't held to pay the 150. Why is that? My timer, because asmachtahi v'asmachta lo kanya. This goes back to the famous discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta, that when a person makes a grandiose type of claim, "Oh, sure, I'll do this for you," but he doesn't really mean it. So then, asmachta lo kanya, he didn't obligate himself. And therefore, Shimon, in this situation, said, "Sure, I'll get you wine, but he doesn't have to, because there's no guarantee he'll be able to get him the wine. He may forget. He may have other things that come up. And therefore, he never really accepted upon himself to do so. And therefore, asmachta, this is just an asmachta, asmachta lo kanya." More questions this, and says, "Rav Ashi, maishna mehodetan. Wait, according to you, this is an asmachta. How come in the Mishnah, which we will learn in Mirtz Hashem, on Daf Kuf Dalid and Daf Kuf Tes, it's going to tell us over there that if a person says, I will go, I'll be a sharecropper on your field, and I will be a chakir, a sharecropper, I'll pay you a flat fee for using your field. Whether the field yields a tremendous produce or the field doesn't yield the produce, I'm going to pay you $100. So, im ovir velo avid, ashali b'metra. And even if it doesn't go and have a yield, in other words, if I decide to leave it fallow, I'll still pay you $100 from the best of my properties, b'metra. And if I don't have the money to pay you, I'll give you the best of my properties." Now, why isn't that an asmachta? Oh, the Mishnah says that that's allowed, so how come this isn't allowed? So Gemara says, no. Hasum biyado, in the case of the chakir, in the case of this sharecropper, guess what? He chose to leave the land fallow. If he decides to leave the land fallow, it's his own fault. And therefore, it's not an asmachta. It was totally within his control to go and take care of that field. And therefore, it's not an asmachta. But we turn to Ayin Dalim and Aleph. But in our case, ha-ha, la biyado. Who says he's going to be able to buy the wine? Maybe he won't find somebody to buy the wine. Maybe the wine ports will suddenly be closed. There'll be some sort of a blight on the crop. Who says he'll be able to get the wine? And therefore, the fact that Shimon didn't get the wine, he can't be held responsible. Rav Ashi says, that's an asmachta. The case of, I will let the field lie fallow and I'll still pay you, that's not an asmachta. Another ma'isa, Amar Rava, Hani Beitz Lasa, the Yavi Zuzi Lechad. There were these three people who gave money to one person to be their agent, to be their shaliach, and go and purchase something for them. L'mizban l'hu midi, to go buy something. So Reuven took money from Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda to go buy something for them. And then Reuven went, v'zovan l'chad minayu. He bought only one item for them. He's supposed to buy, let's say, three items for them, all the same item, and he only bought one. So zovan l'chulu. So then they split this item three ways, because there was no specification as to which one of them he was following through on the shlichus on. The law of Martin, but we only said that they prorated, they split it, only elo de lo tsar v'chosin inish l'chude. That's when they gave him a lump sum together. They gave him all $100 together. But if each of them marked off the bag, here's my $33, here's my $33, here's my $33, so then you go and check. Avot tsar v'chosin inish l'chude. If each of them gave him a separate wrapped bag, so then l'man de zoven zoven. If he used the money from Shimon, he used Shimon's bag with $33. So then Shimon gets it totally, and Levi and Yehuda get nothing. Ulaman de Lozav, because he didn't buy it from Levi's bag. He didn't buy it from Yehuda's bag. He bought it from Shimon's bag, so then Shimon gets it all. But if it was Stam, he didn't specify as to which one he was buying it for. Delo tsar v'chosin, as Rashi says. So mo shall call ish v'ish levad. So it wasn't all separate. They were all together. So then they prorate whatever he bought. Rapapi said name of Rava, Haisi Tumta Kanya. If you make a mark, so then you're Kona. What is this talking about? So Rashi explains, second line in Rashi, Situmta, Chosem Shiroshman Hachenvonim Alachavio Shayain Shalokhan Harbi Biyachad. So what would happen is the big wholesaler of the wine, he would go sell barrels of wine. And the local store merchants would go and buy barrels of wine from him. They didn't have the space to store it. They would keep it by him. So Reuven was the big wholesaler, and Shimon Levi and Yehuda would go and mark off barrels that they would buy from Reuven. Now, they didn't make an actual kinyan mashiach, but they just marked off the barrels. So Shimon marked off barrels 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those are my barrels, and I'll take them one at a time as I need them. And Levi would mark off barrels 5, 6, 7, and 8. Then Yehuda would mark off 9, 10, 11, and 12. And they would leave it in Reuven's otsar. Each of them as they needed it. Shimon would take one barrel when he needed it. Levi would take a barrel, his barrel when he needed it. Yehuda would take the barrel that he had marked when he needed it. Limkar luchanis, when they would go sell in the stores. The roshman osam lidas shekala rishamos nimkaros. And each barrel was marked with the mark of Shimon, with the mark of Levi, with the mark of Yehuda, each a designated separate marking. So, Rapapi says in the name of Rabba, this marking, haisid tumta kanya. They acquired the barrels even though they did not make a full kinyan over here. Now, what is Rapapi saying in the name of Rabba? What is this Situmta Kanya that he's talking about? So we have two possibilities. Rav Chaviva Amal Miknaya Mamish. Rav Chaviva says this is a real kinyan. Shimon owns the four barrels in my case. Barrels 1, 2, 3, 4. They are his barrels. Levi owns barrels 5, 6, 7, and 8. They are his barrels. Yehuda owns barrels 9, 10, 11, and 12. Those are his barrels. It's a real Mamish kinyan. Whereas the Rabbanan Amrei Lekabuli Alei Mishapara. In fact, Reuven still owes all of them. They never made a kinyan mashiach. They just marked off of the barrels. This is Shimon's barrels. These are Levi's barrels. These are Yehuda's barrels. And in fact, Reuven could go and retract and say, hey, they're all still in my possession. Never made a kinyan. Here's your money back. Prices have gone up. I'm going to sell them to somebody else at a higher price. So the only thing the Rabbanan say that Reuven can be over is a mishapara, like we learned earlier in Masechta. If you go back in your word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who took vengeance, who took retribution on the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga, he'll take vengeance on you as well for doing the wrong thing, going back in your word. How do we pass? Do we pass it like Rav Chaviva or do we pass it like the Rabbanan? So the Hilchasa, the Halach is, Lekabuli Ele Mishapar. We pass it like the Chachamim, that in fact is just the Mishapar over here. However, but in places where they said that this marking in the barrel is the equivalent of making a kinyan, everybody agrees that when you write your name on the barrel, that is in effect making a kinyan. So then, kanu, then it does make a kinyan. And such as a mishapara, those barrels are owned by Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda respectively, because this is the equivalent of mishicha, the equivalent of akbar. You can make whatever arrangements you want for a kinyan. If people make a handshake, for example, in the Diamond District, they were famous for going and making a handshake, and Zochala, and they would say Mazel Tov, and that transferred over the diamonds from Reuven to Shimon. So if it was accepted that this is a valid kinyan, then it becomes even stronger than a kinyan mashicha, even stronger than a kinyan akbar. This is a valid kinyan. So the asra in the places, the nehigul, the mikne mamish, that this writing down the names on the barrel would infatuate a kinyan. In fact, kanu, it's more than just a mishapara. Now it's really owned by Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.